Welcome to the Triple M Rush Hour podcast for Toolkit Depot.
Everything you need to get the job done.
Take your mark.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go and have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Happy Hump Day, podcast family. Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Something happened to me and it's happened a few times now, but it's probably one of the most irritating things people can do to you. You know when someone calls you, you don't know the phone number, so you don't typically answer it because it might be a spam call. And then that person, or you're intentionally busy or doing something so you can't pick up the call, that person then calls again immediately after.
That's me. That's me.
Do you call twice?
I always call twice.
It is so annoying.
Guess what? They pick up the second time.
No, they don't.
Yes, they
I
do.
Am more inclined not to answer your call if you've called a second time.
Because I'll call a third.
Yeah, well, then you get banned. You get blocked. I hate it. Does that ever happen to you,
Lee? I can't stand it. It's the world's most annoying thing. If I don't answer the phone the first time, there's a reason.
Mm.
Now, the reason might be I'm away from my phone.
Yeah, or
It might just be that I'm away from my phone.
Yeah.
Calling it again.
Yeah.
Now, I will place a caveat and say that if there's an urgency to the phone call, just send a message.
Shoot me a text.
Saying, please call me back ASAP.
Yeah.
This repeated calling is the behaviour of a sociopath.
They pick up.
It is the most annoying
thing. But then it's a hate picker.
Yeah, it is.
You
it's
immediately
resentful.
Put them in the
you
wrong frame.
You don't know
what
I'm ringing for. I might be ringing for some really good news.
Well, text.
Well, tell, just say.
Or listen.
Let's run through it. You ready? Yeah. Let's role play this.
Okay, well, I will say this now. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop you here. Now, I'm going to be fair here. Normally, I go through the lens of they're on another call and they've got call waiting, so they know that I'm ringing through.
Right.
So pick up or put the person on hold, which
we'll
I do.
Or wait for their phone call to finish and then they'll call you back.
I don't do that. I put people on hold and go, hey, just hang on for a minute. Hey, I'm on another call. I'll come back to you.
Not everybody else is on their phone as much as you.
Well, that's not my problem. I'm only going through my lens.
No, and I think that is your problem, is that you view the whole world through your lens, ignoring
what's wrong with that?
The lenses.
What's wrong with that?
Because other people have different lenses on things.
Well, and also then you think you're
then.
The most important and more important than
correct.
The call they're on.
Maybe he doesn't have have a time
right.
problem. He has a lens problem. And the lens that he has on this world.
He needs a muzzle and glasses.
You know, you take him. If when Indomo goes to the optometrist and they say read the middle line, he goes Ben. I see Ben.
Hey,
okay, next line. Ben,
if you don't
ben,
love
ben.
Yourself, mate, who else will love you? That's exactly what I think, and that's why I focus. I always
on
do that, Jones,
yourself.
And I didn't know it pissed people off.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest.
Really
with
annoying.
You.
Like, well, it does.
And a lot of people do it to me as well.
And how does it make you feel?
Mate, I do it to them, so it's reciprocated. I get it. I don't have a problem. Just bang, bang. Wayne did it to me yesterday. Just kept on ringing like four times.
That was probably a butt dial, but anyway.
No, it wasn't.
Wayne's butt. He's a skinny butt.
He's a top pocket man. He's not a back pocket man. He's a top pocket man.
Oh, that makes it a nipple dial.
Nothing like a bit of Wayne Bennett boob.
Shout out, Wayne. We know you listen to the podcast. Big love. Good luck at the South next year.
Meet the Rush Hour, Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M.
The big breaking story of the day is the devastating news that after 32 years rocking out Fortitude Valley, the zoo, the iconic live music venue, is set to close its doors.
It's an incredibly sad day.
It is. I mean, the names that have rolled through this joint over the years, the Pixies, the Black Keys, Paul Kelly, to name a few, and we could continue to name a few. It's devastating that another live music venue is set to be no more. We're joined now on the show by the owner of the zoo and the Stranded Bar, which is also set to close its doors, Shane Chidsey. Shane, good afternoon. Thanks for giving us some time.
Hi, how are you doing?
Terribly sad day. And as the owner, I can hear your pain in your voice. Give us the reasons why this decision had to happen. How long has this been in the pipeline for?
I mean, obviously, owning live music venues is not about making money. In the beginning, it's about creating opportunities and stuff, but you've got to make a few dollars here. So we have been entertaining options for the last sort of 6 months to sort of see what we could do. The ticket sales and revenue weren't correlating in the same direction. So we were getting amazing efforts done by the booking team in Calibre and getting the greatest number of tickets we've ever sold in the venue's history in the last calendar year. But in this financial year, we're at 60% of what we made in the last financial year.
That is devastating. Shane, are you worried about the slippery slope of live music in Australia? Because we know Splendour in the Grass was cancelled. A lot of live venues are shutting down, including the Zoo. Are you worried about the history and the future of live music in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. Because without independent and without places for people to go and vet themselves and hear new music, it'll end up falling into the newly created AI music that's coming.
Oh, yuck.
Shane, do you think there needs to be government intervention around some of this? Because the horse has bolted as far as social media, and obviously there's that element of being discovered online, which, as I said, the internet is what it is and we can't wind that back. But do you think the government needs to step in some capacity to make sure that venues like the Zoo can sustain as businesses?
100%. And to be fair, to date, you know, without being saying wrong, most of it's been lip service in that aspect. We need changes. You know, venues are experiencing unprecedented increases in cost.
It's got to be, something's got to happen. And I mean, also for the local music that is developing, we've got to be able to have and showcase them. Shane, I'm fascinated with a venture like the Zoo. Who's the best you've ever seen play at your establishment? What is the one performer that you've gone, wow?
I would be remiss if I actually named any one person. I don't think, I couldn't, to be honest. The beauty of being the owner of the Zoo is the fact that I get to hear musicians that I've never heard of before and be shocked on a daily basis. And I think that's the part that is the most amazing element, is that you're seeing people come into their creative fashion and discover themselves. And that's why Stranded as a bar with up to 200 and the Zoo at 500 were key, because they were stepping stones for artists to come through.
Well, Shane, the Chidsey, the owner of the Zoo and the Stranded Bar, we can hear, as Dobbo said, how disappointed you are to have to come to the decision to close both of these venues. But we appreciate your time. And if you keep the radio on here on Triple M, you are about to hear our family, the Triple M listeners, celebrate their memories of these two great venues, because we're going to put it out to them to share their memories next. We appreciate your time, Shane, and best of luck with what comes next.
No, thank you all.
They just simply can't afford to keep it open anymore in its current business model, which is devastating, but we want to celebrate the joint. We're after your Zoo Mems.
Yeah.
Zoo
Mems. Clint from Parkinson, good afternoon.
G'day, guys. My Zoo Mem was actually just a year or two ago, and it was when I went and watched my son play there.
Oh.
What?
And that's the really – I actually just heard it on your station for the first time that it's closing. That's the really disappointing thing, is that my son played there because he goes to an arts college doing a music degree, and they all do their assessments there as a band, and, you know, all the parents come and watch and all that kind of stuff. And I guess that's the really sad thing, is when places like the Zoo shut down, there's bigger repercussions than just us going to go and see great music. It's, sure, you know, it helped develop music as well.
And like Shane said, it's not about purely making money, but they do need money to stay alive.
So
it's
well
all the
said
other things that we see.
Hey, Clint, Clint, is your young fella, he's still going with the music?
Yeah, he plays at other places in the valley. His band's OK 36.
OK 36, there we go.
If all right.
Check them out, they're awesome.
Oh, Clint, thank you for the call, mate. Thanks for sharing your Zoom in.
Stuart from Cleveland, good afternoon. Can you share your memories, mate?
G'day, guys. Yeah, no problem. Much the same, really. About 6-7 years ago, I went to a night there where my sons played. They played in a band called Pet Possum.
Pet Possum.
I love
and
it.
The venue, the Zoo, put on a night, and where all the bands, they're all up and coming bands, and all the bands had to have an animal in their name. So as Pet Possum, they got a gig at the Zoo, and it was one of the best family nights I've ever had, because all the family were there, and all their mates from Ormiston College were there, so it went off. And
how good.
It was a great night, and it's actually quite sad, actually, to hear that it's closing down. I can't believe it.
Oh, Stu, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. Mate, is Pet Possum still rolling?
They went different avenues, the artistic differences.
They had a punch up. They had a punch up off stage.
Yep.
Yeah.
But there's still hope. There's still hope of getting back together.
Yeah, good on you. Well,
thank
well
you,
played, Stuart.
Nicola from Red Hill, what's your Zoo Mem?
Sorry.
Nicola.
Hi, Nicola. Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. It's Liam's fault. That's all right.
Nicola,
yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. In 1995, my friends Bromwen and Dougal Grimley, they actually got married there. It was the most awesome wedding I've ever been to. I can't remember when the zoo opened, but look, they're celebrating their 30 years next year. But I have seen multiple bands over the years, like from, you know, when I was like 20 and I'm now 50-something. absolutely wonderful times at the zoo. I feel so sad, really sad.
Yeah.
Wonderful times.
The zoo opened in 1992, Nicola. So your friends would have got married in the first couple of years.
Yeah, and it was an amazing wedding. I'll always remember it.
When they had the reception, did they have it at the zoo and then bands played?
No, they just had it at the zoo. I think they had live music. Oh, I can't remember now.
That would have been so fun.
But Nicola might have been a bit pissy at the wedding.
I just remember taking photos with the backdrop, like the zoo in big writing, you know, on the wall. And it was just beautiful wedding, because recently they sent some, you know, photos on Facebook reminiscing. So, it's just bizarre. Yeah,
lovely. Wow, what a special memory, Nicola. Thank you for sharing that with us.
No problem at all.
Oh, I could sit here and listen to Zoom memes all day.
I love reminiscing. I love all this. So we go back in time, another venue. Sad.
Well,
I'm just sad that it's happened.
The zoo and the stranded bar, sadly, will be no more. We're not sure exactly when they'll shutter the doors, but here's hoping if there is a last chance opportunity for you to get along and enjoy some music. Surely
someone saves it.
You know what I'm telling you should happen, and I'm just going to tell you right now. Powderfinger make a comeback for one night only at the zoo. I'm telling you now.
Paul Dempsey and Bernard Fanning have done a collab. They're doing an album together, so maybe they could
bring
launch
them all
it
back.
There.
JC, just drop it and come across for one night, mate, at the zoo. Get them all back there.
Yeah. No pressure, boys. Just come and say, no pressure on Powderfinger.
Meet the Rush Hour. Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M.
Right now.
Here it is.
Guys, be honest with me.
Everyone's favourite game. Take it away, Liesl.
Am I being unreasonable? I always get a little bit nervous when I have to do this because you're so good at it, Dobbo.
No, I'm not, Liesl. Go ahead.
You are always unreasonable, but I feel like maybe my unreasonable...
She can't just be kind, even in a moment when she's in the wrong.
Liam, when you were away, there was two Am I Being Unreasonables from Dobbo. I agreed with both of them.
Really?
I wanted to dump in my toilet. Anyway, that's another.
And what was the other? I can't remember, but anyway. Today, I'm going to... This is real petty. I'm going, like... Yeah, real petty on this one. I would like to make a complaint about the Triple M stationery office. I feel like the pens that they provide are not up to the standard of the stationery that I require in my life. I need a rollerball pen that has like a nice stream of blue ink that comes out of it. And the blue ones with the cap, I don't like those. They're not good enough.
Okay. For everybody that doesn't understand, we are extremely privileged here at Triple M because we have a stationery cupboard that is stocked.
I don't know if it's extreme privilege.
I don't know any other workplaces where you get free stationery. I've never worked
in
anywhere.
I think quite a few would, but do you think that's normal? Yeah, I think it's pretty normal to have stationery to do your job, like the basic requirements
You get a computer. What more do you need? Like, I mean,
anyway, that writes properly.
Right. You're winding up. You're having a go.
I was just saying, and the fact that Miss Out of Touch is only because you did a degree last year by pen that you have been writing. You have been hustling pens from this stationery cupboard for your own purpose of a degree. That's all it is.
No, maybe a notebook, but even those are not up to my standard of what I require.
But you've rolled in today.
Yeah, with a brand new spanky pen.
You got your pants in a twist about the fact that the pens aren't up to standard.
Did you come in bitching about it, Liam? It was unbelievable.
I've also made a complaint to our boss, Jamie Angel, about the real lack of quality pens that are provided in this office. So I went to Officeworks today. Yeah. I bought a Uniball Jetstream retractable rollerball pen, 0.7 millimetres, which is my preferred pen.
Pen of choice.
My pen of choice in the blue ink. So I bought two blue, black.
Steal it, Liam. She's not there. Steal it off a desk.
I've got about six in my office drawer now because they cost $4.
I was going to say, how much they set you back? $4.
Yeah, but I claim them on tax because they've got to work.
Oh my God.
So if I speak about it on the radio, I can claim it on tax. So that's quite good.
They've got that brand new
I went to America to watch Garth Brooks.
Apparently.
I went to America to watch Garth Brooks. I spoke about it. I can
not. It's got to be for your job, so yeah, it makes my job
country,
better.
Country music.
We don't do country music right here. That you can't claim that. But apparently, actually, no, I'm not going to say that because I'm not an accountant. I'll probably get sued.
Are you trying to give accountancy advice?
No, not accountancy advice.
James, please give some advice.
But I've heard if you put it on social media and you can prove that you use it for your job,
yeah,
then you can claim it.
Right.
So you're going to put a story now about you?
No,
in
but
your
I've
pen?
Spoken about my pen.
Final message to Nads, who's in charge of the stationary cupboard.
Can we up the ante on the and can we start providing the Uniball Jetstream retractable rollerball pen 0.7?
She's unreasonable,
please.
Liam. She's unreasonable, mate.
This is completely
unreasonable and maybe pathetic at
this
the
is
same
complete,
time.
I encourage everybody in the Triple M office to steal these pens from Liesl Jones. You have my permission.
I've got a lock on my drawer. I'm going to lock it now. Triple M.
Meet the Rush Hour. Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M.
Big story about to break.
Back page of the paper tomorrow morning.
I'm having conversations at the present moment.
At first right here on the Rush Hour.
This is Dobbo's Mail on Triple M.
Wayne Bennett will do a deal with South Sydney in the coming days. And that is the belief that I have after talking to Wayne today and obviously what has transpired over the last 24 hours. Now, let's go back to late last night. Jason Demetrio was sacked after they had two board meetings, the South Sydney board. They had one in the afternoon. They couldn't get to an agreement. Late last night, around 8 p.m, they made a unanimous decision to terminate his contract effective immediately. He had another 3 years to go on his contract. Oh. South Sydney have had their worst start in years, worst offensive team in the NRL. They had 56 points put on them last week. It was always inevitable. They play Penrith on Thursday night. It just has not been for whatever reason. Great bloke, great coach, will get another chance. Just didn't seem to work out. So who do you go to? All the talk was that David Ferner was going to be the interim coach. And when that didn't happen and the appointment of Ben Hornby was announced
as the caretaker, yeah,
already then and there I knew that Wayne Bennett was in the headlights for the job. Wayne Bennett and Ben Hornby are extremely close. Now, if you don't think that South Sydney haven't been talking to Wayne, I mean, you can fly to the moon and back. They've had discussions. Wayne will deny it, but it always is the way. And I can tell you from experience that somebody connected to the club would have been communicating to Wayne. So then Wayne says, has South Sydney spoken to you? No. Well, by the letter of the law, he hasn't. But somebody, South talked to somebody, somebody talked to Wayne. That's just the way
so
it works.
So you've spoken to Wayne Bennett today?
I spoke to Wayne Bennett today. I said, Wayne, what is happening? And he wouldn't put definitive timelines on it. He said, they spoke to me this morning. I told him I'm interested. I've told the club, the Dolphins, that I'm interested. Mm. And so now the negotiations start. Funny yet, I spoke and caught up with Terry Reader, the CEO of the Dolphins, a little earlier because how are the Dolphins feeling about this, knowing full well that we're in round 9 and we've got a 27-round competition and the Dolphins want to make the 8 this year, how he feels about Wayne Bennett potentially going to South next year?
Nothing's really changed from our point of view. As Wayne said before, Wayne was going to decide when he had enough coaching and his deal with the Dolphins finishes at the end of this year, and he's been part of setting up our club for the future as well, and with Christian taking over at the end of it. So, obviously, if he wants to coach on and Souths are interested, and Wayne's interested in being a coach.
Seems like a fairly reasonable attitude.
But that was always the plan, wasn't it? That Christian Wolf was going to take
over.
He was like, that
was
a nursery. Yeah,
that was Wayne's pick to get to take on so the legacy. I will say this. The Dolphins were hopeful, and this is their own words as well, that Wayne would have stayed on in a, junior development ambassador role, stayed paid by the club. They would have liked Wayne to stay at the Dolphins and finish his career working for the Dolphins, not as a head coach. Wayne still wants to coach. Yeah. He's still got the urge to coach.
Can I ask you something, Dobbo? Because South Sydney obviously clearly in need of a coach. They've made that clear with the decision. Yep. I wonder a part of it is trying to jump to the front of the queue because the whispers have been there in the early rounds of the season that Parramatta
could be interested in
Wayne.
They are definitely. And look, they are watching and South Sydney are acting the way they are now because they know time is of such importance because Parramatta with Brad Arthur, there is a lot of murky water around that. And you look at the rosters. Parramatta's roster is a very strong roster. They're primed as well with the right, nothing against Brad Arthur. And Brad Arthur's still got his job there. And the board are backing him at the moment. But another two losses, who knows what could happen.
Lisa, Wayne Bennett's legacy is assured in the game of rugby league, but if he went on and coached Parramatta to a premiership, they might name the sport after him.
Oh,
it would be an unbelievable feather in his cap.
Your chances of that are happening are minimal. I believe he'll be at the Rabbitohs next year. He said that. He's told the club that he's...
Maybe Renault will go back.
Oh, he's on the show tomorrow.
Oh, imagine.
We'll have to ask him.
He loves
he's
Brisbane.
He's not leaving.
Loves
that
Brisbane.
Is not... Listen, let's
no,
not start
I'm
that
not
rumour. He's
that,
not leaving.
Not
he's
me.
Not leaving Brisbane, okay?
I'm not breaking news.
Quote on the back page of the Courier Mail tomorrow.
Meet the Rush Hour. Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M.
You know what? I'm rattled. And I can tell you,
seem
why?
It.
And you know, want to know why I'm rattled?
Yeah,
why?
Because my 7.5-year-old daughter Quinn has officially entered practical joke phase.
Oh, and they're not usually great at that age.
She's
they don't understand the concept of going easy. They go full.
They go full hard.
Full
yeah, I'm with you.
They go from 0 to 100.
She took her first steps into the prank world on the weekend, and you know what? For a first attempt, it was a pretty good try.
Oh yeah.
I came home after I'd been at the football, been doing the Gold Coast Suns game, and I came home and Quinn, she's got to work on her poker face when she's pulling pranks, but she was waiting for me at the door. She had this big smile on her face and said, "Dad, I saved you the last Oreo."
Oh, that's nice.
And I thought.
How kind.
Yeah. I'm like, this is very nice, Quinn. Something's up here. Anyway, she ran the plate out to me with this single Oreo on it. I thought, okay. Popped it in my mouth. Immediately she starts giggling.
Oh.
And I ate it. I thought, it does taste a bit funny. And she, instantly, I put sour cream in it. I took the cream out and put the sour cream in it.
See, that's a really smart prank.
That's clever, actually. Did it look different?
No.
Not really?
Well,
no.
Yeah, that's
good.
Why.
That's good.
You know.
Good commitment.
And I just thought, there was a part of me that was very proud. Because I was like, I want her to be a kid. And a person that pranks her friends. Yeah. I think practical jokes on your mates, it's one of the greatest things you can do. I think it's a sign of affection.
Yes.
You don't pull pranks on people that you don't care about.
No.
So I love that and I want her to be that sort of people. I just think she can up her game.
Okay.
So what do you mean? I mean, what's Quinn, seven?
Seven.
Okay. Mate, I think she's going bloody.
Hard.
I think she's very good.
Did
at
you have assistance in this?
I think my wife, Alana, might have played it. You know what? If I was to give her any notes on her prank, what she should have done is played the long game with me, just given me an Oreo every day.
Oh.
And then
revealed at the end of the week, I've been putting sour cream in those.
Oh.
Just, you know, I like a long con. I like a long practical joke that stretches out for a little while.
A bit like the George Clooney.
This famous George Clooney story, which, for those that haven't heard it, basically the long and the short of it is George Clooney was house-sitting or was staying with a roommate in his apartment at the time. This is before he was rich and famous. And this roommate had a cat, and the cat would use the kitty litter tray, right, in the house. For some reason or another, George Clooney emptied that kitty litter into the toilet one day. And this flatmate who was staying
just
with...
Just the poo.
Just the poo, yeah. And then the flatmate came home and said, "Oh, the cat hasn't done a poo today."
Yeah.
And so George Clooney kept doing it. And so the owner of this cat became more increasingly worried that the cat was constipated and was having internal issues and was taking it to the vet and spending all this money on the thing. Every day George Clooney was dumping the cat poo out. And then it got to the end of the month. And so in this owner's mind, his cat has not taken a... done number
a
twos
month.
For a month.
He has not done anything.
At which point, George Clooney left one of his own.
Oh!
Did a dump in the kitty litter. It's the greatest story
now
ever.
That's a great prank.
That is commitment.
That's the level I want Quinn to get to.
Because that's also believable,
too. You don't
too,
want her to do a dump in the kitty litter, okay? That's not the level you want your daughter to
Please
be at.
Please don't do that.
Yeah.
But look, I would like the help of the Triple M family to up my daughter's practical joke game. If you have pulled a prank on a mate... The longer the better for me. If you've kept the prank going for a year, I want to hear about your best practical jokes or pranks that you pulled off on your mates that are in good spirits.
Do you know how you talked about mates only do it to that? We got a mate of ours, Luke Hannon, who's a great mate of mine, and we were out from boarding school, and he said, "Here, Mum's made these chocolate biscuits once, right?" And it just reminded me when you're talking about that. And me and a guy called Richard Young ate these biscuits, and then he started laughing, and they were dead set dog biscuits.
Dog biscuits. Yeah,
yeah, dead set.
Funny.
And like I was like, you know, like simple
it's
things.
A sign
but
of
we still laugh about it now. We chased him around for a long time. we were so angry.
Lee from North Lakes, have you played a practical prank?
Yes, correct. Tell I was actually played on me though.
Go ahead.
Oh no! But give it to us.
So what happened there was my daughter decided to put chili flakes in my underwear.
Wow.
So I wasn't aware of it. Obviously, got changed the house during the day. And it was a little bit warm downstairs. They confessed to it, so I got rid of those. But the funny part was they told me that they were in another pair in the jock's drawer, which I forgot about. Fast forward a month or so, we're walking to work, going to Woolies, and all of a sudden I can feel a bit of warmth down there. The faster I walked, the warmer it got. Got to the point to go to the public toilets, dispose of those in the bin, rush home, and use a wet wipe to cool my nether region down.
You lay there with
milk.
The shower, you know, like you get the aircon, legs spread with the aircon.
Yeah, correct. You'll have to cool down for a little bit.
Lee, how old were your daughters when they did this to you?
Daughter was 16.
Oh, yeah. That's the level I'd love Quinn to get to.
Do you?
Yeah, chili flakes in the undies. That is funny.
I love that.
That is good gear.
Gav from Ipswich, go ahead, mate. What's your prank?
So I had to call a mate of mine, and I was sitting at work, and I knew he didn't listen to Triple M, so that's a reason enough to prank him.
Yes, Gav.
So this was I said to him, I rang, he answered, and I said, "You're one of our lucky random callers to win tickets to see the Broncos versus the Roosters this night." And he goes, I said, "All you got to do is for 15 seconds, say chook as many times as you can." Hook, line, and sinker. Had him going. He's going, "Chook, chook, 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 chook." I said, "We've got one other caller." I said to him, "Just hold on." I whacked him on hold. I just sat there for a couple of minutes and then came back and I said, "You got to do it again. It was a tie." And he, straight into it again.
That is one of the great pranks. How did you not know it was you, Gav?
I did the whole, "Yes, Triple M."
Are you saying we all sound the same, Gav?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, mate. Gav, that is an elite level prank. Thank you very much.
Sonia from Regent's Park, what was your prank?
Hey, team. Years back, colleague left her phone unattended and unlocked. So I saved my number in her phone as God. For the following days, just over a week, I continued to send her messages, looking out for her. She was on the lookout for love, so I had comments on that, comments on her driving. I even went to the extent I recorded my voicemail when she eventually, after a couple of days, she decided to ring the number back, and I had my husband it's God here. She was really, really rattled. I decided to call her. Oh, she near Peter Pan. Oh, God. Was ringing and
I love that.
She answered the phone.
Absolute gold.
Sonia, that is a good prank. I'd love my daughter to get to that level. I'll tell you what. What was your friend's name, Sonia, that you pulled this horrible prank on?
It was Emma.
All right. Well, Sonia, you and Emma need to go and make up your friendship and get along to the Sanctuary Cove International Boat Show. We're going to send you along with a couple of tickets.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks, guys.
No, thank you for calling and being a part of the show, Sonia. Well done. Some good pranks.
Yeah.
I like it. Triple M's Rush
Hour. Meet the Rush Hour. Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M.
Joining us now, a man who's he's got a pretty tough assignment ahead of him this weekend, Dobbo. The Dolphins taking on the Cowboys.
I don't think it's tough. I think Connolly Lemuelu back, Felice Kaufusi back. I mean, there's no hammer there at the moment. But seriously, this bloke, he leads the team. When he's on fire, this team wins.
No pressure, Jeremy Marshall-King. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, boys.
How are you, mate? Congratulations on another stellar season so far for yourself personally. Up and down for the Dolphins. Some weeks you look like you could really challenge for the premiership. Other weeks, I mean, we all know what was tossed up last week. Just not the best performance. Where are the Dolphins at?
Yeah, we're pretty flat last week, you know, against the Knights. And we knew we weren't at our best. But just one of the games. And I know this week the Cowboys are going to be tough to beat. But we know we're ready to go and get the game going.
Considering all the ups and downs this season, are you surprised to be sitting sixth on the ladder? Because it seems to be there's enough consistency to be sitting nice and high.
No, I don't think we're surprised. We know we have the team for it. Boys are injured. No, it's taking most of the salary cap up, but... But the boys that come in and, you know, fill in that spot, they do a great job. So we're not surprised at all. And once those boys are back from being injured, you know, we're only going to get better.
Are you playing with a basketball?
I'm in front of the house because my house got bad reception inside. So I had to come outside.
Sounds like there's a basketball in the background.
If anybody listening sees Jeremy Marshall King out the front of his house on the phone, just honk as you go past.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Through the radio.
Hey, mate, we talked about this earlier. Wayne Bennett's phone today. No one, from speaking to Terry Reader and others, that never seen it as busy. He's actually come out and said, look, he's interested next year. Did you both have a stir with him at training today? Did you have a little quip at him? Like, everybody knows what's going on. He's obviously finishing at the end of the year. Christian Wolf takes over. It looks like Uncle Wayne's going to be back with the Bunnies next year.
Yeah, I think a few of the boys are, you know, having a laugh with them and having a joke, and it's necessary to, you know, have a laugh.
The goat would have to be thinking, oh, I'll follow him wherever he goes. Aww. Mark Nichols. Well, he was at South Sydney. Yeah. Wayne brought him back. It's in the club. So he might be going back now. He might be going back to Sydney.
No, hopefully that's not the case. You know, he wasn't marking our team.
Nah. he'll stay low. Did Wayne find any of the joking funny on the training track today?
Yeah, he always loves it. Oh. Yeah. He always got the last in that place.
Jeremy, I am fascinated by this joint called the Mad Cow Tavern up in Townsville. Now, I've never been there, but from conversations with Wendell Saylor and Ryan Gerler and Mark Geyer about this place in their era, it was, you'd pack, you know, as soon as the final hooter went, you'd have your jeans on, your going out shirt and your shoes, and you'd head straight to the Mad Cow. Is that still the case for road trips for teams in Townsville?
I wouldn't have a clue. I haven't been there in a while, actually. I don't know if it's still like that now, but when I was at Bulldogs, it was like that. It's pretty packed, and all the clubs, you know, head there.
The thing about it is you go out if you win. I mean, you can pack your gear all you want. You get towed up, you're not going. The Dolphins, it's got such an unbelievable supporter base, but the best thing about being in the Bay is, mate, you absolutely love fishing. Has that been one of the real highlights? You and Hammer, they tell me you two are the number one fishermen in the club at the moment.
Yeah, it's one of our hobbies. We just head out when we get a day off and head out in the Bay and head out to Tangalooma and behind there as well. So it's something we enjoy doing.
I have to embarrassingly say I've never been fishing.
She's never been fishing.
Yeah. Never been fishing.
Mate, you're going to have to try it out.
Yeah.
Mate, we were thinking that maybe you and Hammer could take Liesl out on a fishing trip one day. Now, I understand.
What could I catch?
Fella up in the NT just caught the $1 million
barramundi. Yeah, I won't be catching that.
Lucky kid he is.
On the upside, if you do take Liesl fishing, Jez, at least if you fall overboard, you know she's got you covered. She'll be able to swim you back to shore.
She'll be able to tow you back.
Yeah, we're going to have to take you out one day.
Mate, we can do that. She'd love that.
Yeah.
I mean, seasick tablets and all. I think Liesl Jones with the Hammer and Jeremy Marshall King. I think that's awesome.
They out on the boat. I love it. All right, Jeremy Marshall King, it's a big game. It's an all Queensland affair this weekend up in Townsville. Finn's taking on the Cowboys. Best of luck. He's hoping you have a reason to get to the Mad Cow after the game.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Triple M Rush Hour podcast for Toolkit Depot. All the top trade brands under one roof with everything you need to get the job done. Shop in-store or online. Toolkit Depot.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.